All right, second class is just on the gospel. I've been amazed at how many people don't know what the gospel is, who come to church sometimes and they don't know what the gospel is, or they've been in churches that haven't been told what the gospel is. There are people, I'm convinced, around where you live that don't know what the gospel is. They know a lot of rules and stuff that people have laid on them, and a lot of shallow teaching they've heard, but they really don't know what the gospel is. So don't assume anymore that people know when you say God or when you say gospel that they know what you're talking about. Because more and more it's true that we have people on our block that have never heard of God's grace. True grace. So this church and this church, this lesson is just meant to give a head start on introducing people. The other thing I know is sometimes I have people come through new member classes that don't know the Lord. Gives me a chance to preach the gospel to them. So that's what we do. Man, this thing's moving quick. All right. What is the gospel? I've given you a hint there. Anybody want to pipe up and answer that question? Good news about what?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, all right. Smiling? More you want to say on that? Oh. Just happy about the gospel? Or?
I am very happy about the gospel. I couldn't live without it. I mean,
let me ask you this question before we move further. Why do we need the gospel?
Because.
I agree. Because. The mom answer.
Because the gospel is the good news that... You got to go back to where you are sinners. Everybody is born as a sinner. And without the gospel, without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are all going to hell.
We're lost,
we're
right?
We're lost. We have no hope in this world.
What can't we be good enough so God will accept us?
No. God's standard.
Our parents were Christians. Maybe that'll get us in.
No.
Grandma was praying for
me. My baptism didn't get me in. Or my confirmation.
Yeah, see, that's the law is necessary, and it's the first step, because the law defines sin, and it helps people see that they have sinned, right? And so that they need a Savior. That's what, in Romans chapter 3, Paul says that the law basically stops everybody's mouth, stops us from making rationalizations and excuses, so that we see, if God's Spirit's at work, we see that we have sinned and that we've fallen short of the glory of God, that we are lost, that we need a Savior. But we have, the gospel is good news because the truth about us is bad news. The truth about us as human beings in Adam is that, you know, we prove our kinship to Adam as we sin and enjoy it and keep going at it. But the gospel is the good news that we need because of the bad news that we are lost and we are dead in trespasses and sins, that we are outside of Jesus Christ, we are under God's wrath. And if we die in that position, we'll be lost forever. So, I mean, anybody need me to go into that any further? Or, did any of you all see that thing I posted that I came across about the lady who snapped a picture on Facebook and ran across the median and was killed? She was posting while she was driving. And that was the last thing she did. Now, I don't know the status of her soul. I don't know whether she was saved or lost, but she's 32, nurse, you know, ton of stuff to live for, but just going down the highway at highway speed, posting a picture of herself smiling because she liked the song that was on the radio. And that was the last thing. That was the last thing she did. So, if you text and drive, if you post and drive, stop it. It's as bad as drinking and driving. If you've ever seen anybody doing that, it can take you out. So the bad news is that we're lost and need a Savior. The good news is God has provided a Savior. And
He
He's there and he's able.
Absolutely. There and he is able. This is a quote from Michael Horton. From Genesis to Revelation, the gospel is God's promise of a son who will crush the serpent's head, forgive the sins of his people, raise them from the dead, and give them everlasting life solely on the basis of his grace for the sake of Christ. Solely on the basis of grace and for the sake of Jesus Christ. So the whole Bible, if you want to hear, if you've not been here that long and you want to hear sermons about the whole Bible being about Jesus, there's a series that I did called Road to Emmaus, which goes back to Genesis and works through and shows how the whole Bible is really about Jesus. I've always wanted to be part of that conversation with the two disciples that were walking to Emmaus after Jesus had died. They thought he was dead, and he actually walks with them and teaches them and rebukes them. And then when he breaks the bread, he disappears, and they run back to Jerusalem on time. But I've always wished, you know, he taught them all the things about himself that were in the law and the prophets and the Psalms. So he went back to Genesis and showed them how all of that was about Messiah, which was himself. So anyway, Road to Emmaus is the name if you want to go look at some of that. But the whole Bible is about Jesus. Verse I always go back to. It gives you both sides. The wages of sin is death. If we don't have an answer for our sin, what is sin? Anybody want to give a short definition of sin?
Not glorifying God.
Good. Big broad, but that's good. It's disobeying His what?
Commandments.
Yeah, in thought, word, or deed. So it's any lack of conformity to, living up to, or transgression of the law of God. So He says, thou shalt not steal, we steal. Lie, we lie. Adultery even starts in the heart. Remember Christ's teaching. No other gods, you know, Sabbath day, all that kind of stuff. The wages of sin is death. And we're born in sin. And we live in sin. And we are under death and under condemnation until the day we receive God's free gift. And the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Free gift. And that's why I'm saying, a while ago when I said a lot of people don't know the gospel, it's not, the free gift of it is not preached or taught in a lot of places anymore. There's a lot of legalism laid on top of that and things, hoops that people have to jump through, even if they know a little bit about it. So be sharing with them that salvation is a free gift through trusting in Christ and trusting in Him alone. So the payoff for sin, the bad news, that's the bad news about all of us, is that we deserve death, and that spiritual and physical death, which means not just death of the body, but separation from God forever in hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who has lived in fulfillment, perfect fulfillment of God's law in thought, word, and deed, and then who took our sins upon Himself and died and paid the penalty for our sins, so that He could give us that salvation as a free gift. He has actually earned it with His perfect life. And then He has actually paid for all of our sins with His death on the cross. So that when by God's grace we trust in Jesus, our sin was dealt with on the cross. His righteousness is credited to us. Sins washed away, clothed in His righteousness, accepted as God's child. So what must I do to be saved?
Believe.
And what is believing?
Acknowledging, accepting, reflecting, having faith.
There you go. Trusting. That's the word I was looking for. 1 Corinthians, if you ever want to see, now this is a summary of the gospel. There's a lot behind this that needs to be explained, but this is a summary of the gospel that Paul preached. He said, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died. He had no sin, not for His sins. He died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture. See, that was all predicted in the Old Testament and pictured in the Old Testament sacrifices and on we could go. That He was buried. He really died. And that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. All of that foreshadowed and pictured and promised in the Old Testament. So it's Christ, strictly speaking, The good news of the gospel is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for us. Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and He was raised on the third day. And that's through trusting in Him that we have everlasting life. One of my favorite places in the Bible that shows where works come in for us, and shows that we're not saved by our own works, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift. And there comes that, don't miss that word. It's all over the place. It is the gift of God, not a result of works or our works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created or recreated, born again, part of the new creation, in Christ Jesus for good works. So we do, after we're converted, we're saved, we do good works, but He's working those in us and working those out by our spirit. But we don't do any good works before conversion, and nothing of our salvation is based on our works. It's saving, salvation, justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. To the glory of God alone. So does that make sense? It's a free gift. Isn't that, I mean, if we had to earn it, how would we know we ever had it? How much do we have to do? Right?
And you could lose it.
You could lose it. Got to get it back. Yeah. Oh my goodness, now I'm in a real mess. That's quite a pickle.
That's the answer to the person that believes you can lose your salvation, is that you can't be unborn.
I didn't earn it, so I can't unearn it. Now my life will show whether or not I truly have it. There are false professions, you know, but no Christian is perfect. So if we're striving to love and live for Jesus, that's because the Spirit's working in us and producing that. So our response to the fact that Christ came and lived for us, He died for us, He was raised from the grave, and He says, if you will trust in Me, you will have salvation. And our response, again, this is not the gospel. The law is not the gospel, and our response is not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus. But then we have a response. We have a responsibility, which is called conversion, which is repentance and faith. So repentance is what God grants through the preaching of the gospel. There's a change of heart that happens so that what results in a change of action. So there's a change of, I don't know, I illustrate it, I don't have much room in here, but I illustrate it, it's like a change in the direction of the soul. I'm going this way, and then now I'm going this way. I'm running from God, and then suddenly I turn, and I'm running to Him in faith. So God changes our hearts through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit applying that to us, making us understand it and turn and trust Jesus. That's sort of our first act of repentance, or the change of the mind, where we go from unbelief to belief. And then we go from not loving Christ to loving Him and wanting to live for Him. So turning and trusting. Faith is more than mental assent. It's a knowledge of the gospel. It's belief that the gospel is true. And there's another vital third element. So God works in us our response, if that makes sense. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, and through the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit applying that gospel to us, He raises us to new life in Christ. We're regenerated, and the fruit of regeneration is that we turn to trust in Jesus, and we begin to seek to want to live for Him. So, but it's all through faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, through faith alone. So it helps to have a good definition of faith. Even our repentance is a fruit of faith and flows out of that initial faith. But faith is knowing the gospel. It's believing that the gospel is true. There's one more element. And this, if you remember this, it'll help you. Here we go. The Reformers had a definition of saving faith with three elements, the way they broke it down and described it. And it's that you need to know the facts of the gospel. So what are the facts of the gospel? The summary verses that we read.
He lived a perfect life. He died. He rose again. And we can gain salvation by accepting.
Good. Yeah. So we need to know those. Somebody, in order for us to be saved, we have to hear the gospel. Or read it, or it has to come to us. It has to be communicated to us. And then we have to believe that Jesus really is the Son of God, who lived a perfect life, died a perfect death, was raised from the grave, and gives us salvation as a free gift. But then there's a third and essential element, which is trust. Because, and I say this again, I don't want you to go when you're witnessing to people and use this kind of language, but you know it in the back of your head, okay? The first two steps, even the demons do. The demons know Christ is the Son of God. In fact, they would beg Him not to torment them, right? They know that He lived, died, and was raised from the grave. They just hate Him. They hate Him. They're not trusting Him for anything. So this is what makes it saving faith, when we trust in Christ alone for salvation. A lot of people will, and when you're witnessing to folks, they'll say, I believe in God. And don't say, well, so is the devil. I mean, you know that, okay? It just helps you know how to deal with them. Or they'll say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But you can tell by their life that Christ is not, to live as Christ is not true for them. But they're not trusting in Christ and Christ alone for salvation from a new heart, which is revealed in a new life. So it's knowing the gospel, believing it's true, and then responding to it. Trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. So you became a Christian, or you become a Christian, the moment you trust Jesus alone as your Savior. So the most important question is not when you were saved, but are you right now trusting in Jesus alone? Because I have people that will sit with me, and one of the things that will happen, if you come through this class and you still want to join the church, we'll sit down together, have a meal together, or do something. Probably have my wife involved, so the better half is there. But just hear your testimony. And all I'm looking for is really, when I say hear your testimony, really all I'm looking for is for you to say, I'm trusting in Jesus for my salvation. Right? But if you were saved as a child, you may not remember when that happened. Not everybody remembers exactly when. Some people look back and it's kind of fuzzy and it kind of seems like a process. But that really is not the most important thing. The most important thing is today, if God said, why should I let you into heaven? That your answer would be, because I'm trusting in Jesus, your Son. Not because I've done all this good stuff or given my money or any of that stuff, but because I, by your grace, am trusting in your Son. That's the answer. So if you were converted as a child and you don't remember when that happened, don't worry about that. Because the vital question is, are you trusting in Jesus today? And if you're trusting in Jesus today, you trusted in Him at some point in the past, but faith in Him is what matters. And the second thing I want to say to you is that don't wish you had a testimony like me. If you were saved as a child. I was 26 years old when I was converted, and I brought a lot of sinful baggage in with me and rethinking that I needed to do by God's grace. So it sounds all like wonderful when you hear somebody, I was off and I was in drugs and doing all this stuff, and then God saved me. But don't desire that testimony if you don't have it, because it brings nothing good with it. It's just more stuff you have to overcome. If you were saved as a child in a Christian home, praise God for that. Rejoice for that. Whenever you were saved, praise God for that and rejoice. But sometimes we envy those who have these dramatic testimonies. And, God works in each one of us differently and according to His will at different times. And yours is the testimony. If you were saved as a child, yours is the testimony. I wish I had. There'd be a whole lot fewer bad images and pictures and habits. Have to give that up. Any comments or questions about that? Is it making sense? Is that jiving with what you believe? I think I'm crazy.
I think a lot of what you just said, whenever about being saved early in life, that resonates with a lot of people, because I was saved when I was young, and then screwed up. Well, I'm still screwed up today, but for a lot of years, and it always bothered me. And then I think whenever I finally was just like, this is not me, or it's me thinking this. It's not God saying, no, you're good. You know, it was like kind of like the demons and all that kind of stuff fighting me, going, nope, you're not worth it, you're not worth it. And then, you know, I think in the past probably 5 or 6 years, well, since we got married, 9, 12, 15, 20 years, but it just seems like 30. But ever since God brought me her, it's been like, that's whenever
he's trying to dig out.
I have done something. No, totally. Keep up. I was successful before I came. Before I was really successful, and then whenever I was like, nope, not doing that anymore. This is what I'm going to do. And then everything was like, yeah, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Boom, boom, sheep fell, boom. And you know that. But the being saved whenever I was young, that really. At first, I thought it was like, oh yeah, because it kind of felt like that's what was supposed to happen. You know, not that it didn't happen, but it. Did and just kind of felt weird whenever I look back. But I mean, like, I don't know. It just doesn't bother me. Driving down the road, I'm like, I'm good. If something explodes right now, I'm good. It doesn't bother me. So.
Anything else? Y'all want to help him get out of the doghouse?
I'm not in the doghouse.
No, I know. I'm taking.
I might be all the time, but. It really does. That hits home with me a lot, what you just said. So.
Yeah. Anything else?
I know what happened with me. It was I began to see the problems of the world. It was about 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
When you start asking all these philosophical questions, and you see there's only one solution to all of these problems, and that's Christ.
Common denominator.
How about that?
I was young.
What a blessing.
But at the same time, I was able to understand what Christ was and how he could absolve. And I wasn't necessarily looking for everybody else's sins. I was looking at my own. What's going to help me get through this mess?
The gospel is so profound we can study it for the rest of our lives and never mind the depths, but it's so simple that the smallest child can understand it and they can really trust Jesus.
And for me, it was not one day.
Sermon.
I mean, I always went to youth for Christ and stuff like that, but it was over a period of time that I came to that realization that Christ could solve the problems of the world. And he still is the only one who can.
Yeah, and will. Will, new heavens and earth won't have all these evidences of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was not converted until I was 40. But I went to church my entire life. From I was baptized as an infant, went to a Lutheran grade school, was confirmed in the church, attended the church, lived pretty much like a sinner.
Pretty much.
Big sinner. So anyway, my walk did not match my talk.
Yeah.
If you had asked me, I would have said, sure, I'm saved. Because as you had up on the board, I knew the facts about the gospel. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died on the cross, but I was not trusting him. And when I was 40, and God pierced my heart, and I realized that my sin was against him, that he was the one that I offended. And that's what broke my heart. That's what... And I was not the same after that.
And that's the
person.
When we're... Not that we don't ever sin or fall into sin, but
I didn't want to sin anymore.
Well, my friends thought I'd gone crazy, and I really had, to some extent. Zeal without knowledge for a while, I was dangerous.
They ever come back looking for you to find out what happened?
No, they ran from me. Yeah. Jeff's got religion now. They didn't understand it. Yeah. So, okay. Any other questions on that? Is that the gospel you hear preached here? What I'm describing? If you don't, come kick me in the pants and say, reboot. You're bleeding in works. You know what I'm saying? If it's not clear, please come to me. Because I want it to be clear.
That's why I come back here.
Thank you. Thank you. But we can slip. We can. And you know, if you see me doing anything that dishonors Christ or saying anything that dishonors Christ, please come to me. You probably won't beat my wife there, but she's such a help. She's in one sense she's my toughest critic, but it's always very good constructive criticism, and I ask for it. So I guess I'm that crazy. But I would always ask her, like, especially early on, how was the sermon, how that got him? And she'd tell me. One Sunday we got in the car, and this was at the other church, we got in the car, and she said, "Well, how do you think that went?" And I said, "I laid an egg today." She said, "Yes, sir, you did." So she's faithful to do that as well. But I say that to you. You have an open invitation to come to me if you see me dishonoring Christ in any way. Please do. And if I won't listen to you, go to see me. She'll say, "I know, I see you." No. But I'm serious about that. So, question, is your testimony that you have turned and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, that you have received and are resting in Jesus alone for acceptance with God? And resting is just another way of saying trusting. I've placed all my weight upon Him. I've placed all my trust in Him for salvation. And if He don't save me, I'm lost. I'm not hedging my bets. I'm doing enough good works over here. I want to do good works, but because I love Him, not in order to add to the gospel. So resting is trusting. It's just an old Puritan way of saying things. But are you resting in Jesus alone for acceptance with God? If so, you're a Christian, and you're welcome to join Grace Church. Have you ever heard this saying by John Newton? You know who John Newton is? Hymn writer. He was a slave trafficker and trader, and a wonderful testimony. But he said, "I know two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior." And I say amen to both of those. Mm-hmm. Great sinner, but He's a great Savior. Comments or questions? We're going to do next time the theology, so that'll take a little longer. And then the biblical case for church membership. There is a biblical case to be made for you to be a member of a church wherever you live. And you know, if you're going to a church and you have faithful elders, they're going to shepherd you whether you join or not. I mean, I tell people that, you know, so, you know, join or not. If you run off and sin, I'm coming after you, you know, in love. But there's a case for membership, and then the theology. We won't roll through all of that doctrinal statement, but I'll try to hit the high points for you next time. So just to, you know, homework would be read the website. Read about us. Read whatever you can. Go back and look over the What We Teach pages again, because there will be things I won't cover in that class, but you may have a question about. So if you can, roll through the doctrinal statement again, shorter one and the longer one, and if you have questions that we don't cover, please bring those up, because they're important. All of your questions are important to me. So that's really it for these first two.